We are joined once again by Luke Stoddard Nathan of The Alt. He's here today to tell us about what's going on in the Capital Region.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, how are you doing?
Thank you for having me, as always.
Excellent.
I guess I'll start with who wouldn't want to talk about the salt pile immediately in every episode, right? The salt pile might move. You may know the salt pile from if you've ever driven down 787 and you've seen the giant road salt pile right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's on a piece of land that's owned by C.D. Perry, which is a big contractor. And there have been talks over the years about moving the salt pile all the time. You know, obviously, as development sort of moves south in Troy, you know, bigger projects start popping up in like south central Troy. You know, people are sort of looking askance at that big pile of salt and wondering if really that's the best place, you know, right on the waterfront for it. And I, you know, I think to some extent, though, the proprietor is probably open to moving it. And so the latest news is that on Friday at the Troy Local Development Corporation meeting, which is a nonprofit that's basically, it has mayoral appointees on a small kind of nonprofit entity that's basically controlled by the city. The planning commissioner, Steve Strikeman, mentioned that a parcel of land that's just north of the Wineskill down in this South Troy Industrial Park where the LDC owns a bunch of parcels of land. And if you drive down now and you can go walk down there, Water Street sort of runs through it. It's sort of this kind of apocalyptic wasteland looking place. You know, there's sort of just like a lot of random
industrial leftovers.
That's a good way to put it. And indeed, on one parcel, there's a big remediation that still has to take place. National Grid has to do like a multi-million dollar remediation at one of the parcels. But on this other parcel that's just north of the Wineskill, it's about 4 acres. And I've been reporting on this for a while. With the sort of the planning commissioner has said at previous meetings that they have an interested buyer of this parcel, but he would not say who this buyer was. And I was sort of intrigued. The previous tenant of this property had sort of left it kind of, you know, depending on who you ask, in a pretty rough shape. You know, they left like sort of these piles of rubble. They say that the piles of rubble were already there. This is tangled up in litigation. But one of the sort of interesting things about this was that the LDC seemed really eager to get them off the site. And this is why. Apparently now we know that the parcel, this 4-acre parcel, is for the salt pile relocation. But there's still a lot of details kind of still that remain. And when I reached out to the salt pile land, the owner of the land where the salt pile currently is, and I asked him, you know, hey, are you guys going to move the salt pile? You know, here's what I heard at the LDC meeting. One of their general manager, Tyler Fain, said that the move still depends on rail access and a few other factors we wish not to disclose. So I don't know. There's sort of some details that still remain to be seen. It's not clear to me whether they just want to use this one parcel. They also own a 7-acre parcel of land that's sort of in between this 4-acre parcel and the jail. There's this 7-acre parcel that they already owned. I don't know if that parcel would also kind of figure in their plans. There's another lot that's sort of adjacent to the 4-acre parcel that's owned by the county IDA. So a lot of quasi-governmental entities involved, maybe multiple parcels. The salt pile is the responsibility of a tenant of this of C.D. Perry. So many factors still to be kind of figured out. But, you know, I think probably most people would probably agree, or probably the city feels this way too. Maybe this South Troy apocalyptic wasteland is a better place for the salt pile than where it currently is, especially as there's a new project of, I think, 80 apartments that's being constructed right now at that former warehouse that sort of looks out. If you look south from that project, you can see the salt pile. You know, maybe the new tenants wouldn't appreciate that view. So maybe that's a factor too. I don't know. But the salt pile may be relocated, you know, maybe within our lifetimes, I think, is the takeaway.
Well, that's a good optimistic take.
Yeah.
And you had recently written about another development project going on, the King's Commons. Is that correct?
That's right. So this is a 5-story, 55-unit apartment complex at 1214 King Street, which is currently vacant land right next to Wolf's Beer Garden, sort of just north of Federal Street right there. And they have already got, this project has already been approved by the Planning Commission and by the Zoning Board of Appeals for various stuff. So it's ready to build. But they have one last stop, and that's to the Troy Industrial Development Authority to try to get tax breaks to build. This is sort of the thing that happens when you're building new construction, for better or for worse. Developers, when they're building new construction, you know, they cite the high cost to build, you know, the economic impact that this development would purportedly bring. And they say, you know, for us to do this, for us to make the numbers work, yada, 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 you should give us, the city should give us tax breaks. And the IDA will go to great lengths to kind of stress, you know, and this happened at this meeting that I was at on Friday. You know, the board chair of the IDA said, you know, we need to stress that even though they're getting tax breaks, the tax revenue that the city will reap if this project moves forward will still be greater than it would be if this property just stayed like a vacant parcel of land. I think that that's not it's true, but I think the question sort of remains like, well, you know, is that all we should expect? You know, it's just that as long as the city gets some tax revenue more than we were getting before this project happens, is that the only kind of bar to clear? That seems like a fairly low bar to me. You know, maybe the city should hold out, or maybe they should kind of press the developers for more kind of concessions. You know, that's one thing that, you know, may happen actually, because this project, it was noted by Anasha Cummings, who's a city council person who also sits on the IDA board at this meeting. He was sort of pressing the developer about why don't you have any commercial, or, you know, what is it really contributing to this downtown neighborhood? How are you going to make sure that this development kind of contributes to the streetscape of King Street, you know, as development kind of moves for north out of downtown? You know, Anasha Cummings did vote to further consider giving this property tax breaks, as did every IDA board member except for Mark McGrath, who represents, he's also a city council person. He represents this area, this district in North Central. He was sort of more skeptical about, you know, he was sort of questioning what the impact of the project would be in terms of fire and other sort of police resources or whatever to have this new project. You know, he was basically saying, you know, in my opinion, on balance, this project doesn't really contribute that much to the city. And so he voted not to consider giving it tax breaks. But there's going to be a final vote in a public hearing next month. So I guess we'll see. But I think you're seeing now that as the IDA, you know, they've given out tax breaks for these sorts of new construction projects before. I think now as the city kind of, there's more and more apartments online. I think Anasha Cummings mentioned that there's about 1,000 apartment units either newly or kind of under construction right now in the downtown area. You're seeing kind of at least people look a little more skeptically than before at these kind of tax breaks and say, you know, wait a minute, you know, what is it that we're subsidizing? Is this what we want to be encouraging? At least thinking a little bit more critically about that. And, you know, you could argue whether or not that's appropriate, but that's happening now.
So you could almost say that it's Troy valuing itself higher, saying that, you know, even if you choose not to build, we can, you know, plan on someone else wanting it and being willing to pay an appropriate tax.
Yeah, and I think that was my sense sort of a couple months ago at the charrette that was held for the future of One Monument Square. I think the consultant that kind of held that dialogue with the community was sort of touching on that as well. It sort of felt to me, at least being there and having covered this stuff for a little bit, that the city was sort of taking this collective breath of like, oh, wow, you know, a lot of stuff has been built recently, you know, are we happy with this trajectory? Like, let's take the temperature, so to speak. So that's a conversation I think that's going to be happening more and we should look out for. One other thing, if we have time, the city held like a ribbon cutting for the Uncle Sam Trail extension, which is an extension of an already existing bike trail, you know, the one that's up here and mm-hmm. kind of like sort of east of where we are sitting right now. It sort of extends down kind of off road and on road at various points, about 3 miles from Middleburg Street down all the way to the Menands Bridge. I have sort of grappled with whether to call this a trail or what is the right word. You know, some of it's on the street. It's only denoted by sharrows, which are just like arrows with a bicycle. You've probably seen them if you've driven around the city.
It's like a word I hadn't known before reading here. Yeah.
A sharrow. It means just like a reminder to cars, basically, that you you on this road especially, although always you should share the road with bicycles, but especially, you know, this is a main thoroughfare for bicycles, so hey, cars, look out for, you know, cyclists. But it's really not like, it's just a paint mark on the,
it's not like a dedicated lane.
Yeah, but right. It's really just not much of anything, right? But then the route actually then, you know, goes behind buildings, and, you know, there's a part, you know, further south, maybe you've seen, and I've written about it, you know, where there's these removable bollards and this two-way lane, you know, it seems like a little more built out, a little more robust, if you will, than just like the Sharrows. So it's a mixture of those different kinds of forms all the way down to the Menands Bridge. The city has basically completed it, although not entirely. So there's some parts on First and Second Street and, you know, South Central or South Troy that are still kind of, they're sort of being tied in with this. The Community Development Block Grant was just like a federal funding program to redo like sidewalks and things like that. So they're waiting to paint those stretches still, or they're waiting to whatever. It's kind of complicated, but it's mostly finished, and I have ridden it, and it's kind of cool. I mean, it does connect the bike path that's already existing up in Lansingburg and North Central all the way to the bridge. Again, you're not completely protected the whole time if you're a cyclist. You're still going on the road sometimes, but it seems like a start. And what the planning commissioner told me at the ribbon cutting last week was that he'd also like to extend the riverfront portion of the trail further up all the way to Middleburg Street, from basically where it gets onto the road. He'd like to keep that off along the river all the way up to Middleburg Street. So that's one of the future hopes and dreams, I guess, of the city.
And they may not have to cycle past a salt pile.
They may not have to cycle past the salt pile, although, you know, you could say, hey, you know, that's kind of a cool attraction. Maybe at least the first time, and then maybe you get sick of it. Or, you know, there was a big fuss or a big to-do last year about some people who live kind of near Washington Park, about like, hey, oh, this salt kind of blows off and kind of lands on my building. I don't know how meritorious, you know, the sort of complaints about, you know, what if I'm being exposed to salt. You know, I don't mean to belittle it, but maybe a little bit. I don't know that there was so much in that, but I think plenty of neighbors around that area will probably be pleased to see the salt pile move, if it does in fact happen, which remains to be seen.
Excellent. As we wind down the show, I wanted to take a second and commend the Alt for the best of series that they've been doing. We were really enjoying here in the studio the best reasons to move to a blank city in the capital region. Did you have any particular favorites?
Well, one of the best, purportedly, and this is probably controversial, but one says one of the best reasons to move to Troy. And again, I should say that these are all reader supplied. You know, we didn't, although, you know, maybe the staff can vote, but, you know, we didn't just pick these ourselves. We have the cutest dogs in Troy, I'm told. This says in front of me. The Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, which is obviously, you know, no surprise to anyone who lives here, or who goes to that. The library, EGADS, that beautiful library someone wrote.
They actually have a beautiful series right now on Instagram. They're doing a bunch of like black and white pictures. Have you seen it?
No, but
yeah,
I should
look.
Yeah,
the Troy Public Library. They're doing, gosh, I wish I could remember the handle, but if you look it up, yeah, it looks really great right now.
I mean, it's a very aesthetically pleasing library.
All marble and iron. It's incredible.
Oakwood Community Center, cool to see them get a shout out. That's an interesting space. Concerts, office space, event space, all of the above, dance practice, all different kinds of things going on there at an unlikely location right on Hoosick Street.
Right, right.
What else?
I liked some of the snarky ones, like best reason to move to Troy, the downtown parking. Just kidding.
Yeah, they're really stirring the hornet's nest there with that sort of comment. It's politics, which, you know, it's famously joked that in Troy, you know, politics are sort of a blood sport, you know, so.
Yeah, really.
There's many.
I do have a question about the Super Smash Brothers Melee. So I am going to give away my location. I am a Troy resident, and I've not ever heard about this, and I'm quite upset. that I've missed out on such a great opportunity. Do you know anything about that?
Where is it? No, I
The local Super Smash Brothers Melee scene.
You know, a lot of college students, perhaps. You know,
maybe.
I don't. Is it at all to do with the? We featured the Pastime Legends place.
Oh,
Maybe
it was there.
I'm there all the time. They never tell me. If anyone out there knows about this, please comment on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Let us know.
And where can the people contact you, Luke?
Luke@thealt.com, as always. Send story ideas, complaints, friend requests, you know, whatever you want, send it my way. I'm always interested. Try to keep the pulse of the city in mind. So. Thank you.
Excellent.
As always, for having me.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
That was Luke Stoddard-Nathan of The Alt. If you're just joining us,
you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM.